everyone. Welcome back to the Fantasy Pros Baseball Podcast. I'm Bobby Sylvester, and we are officially underway in the fantasy season. Sorry to everyone who was waiting for a podcast to come out. We had some technical difficulties earlier in the week. I really appreciate you all being patient, and thank you for the kind words saying you missed the show. We're back. There's been a lot of news, and we've got plenty of takeaways to discuss today with our Fantasy Pros analyst, Dan Harris. You can find him on Twitter at DanHarris80. I'm at Bobby Fantasy Pro. Dan, thanks for coming on the show today. Happy baseball season, man.
Oh, it's always my pleasure. If we could just get rid of some of the snow on the ground going on around here, then it would really be. I really think that the MLB should just schedule all games for the first 2 or 3 weeks of the season out on the West Coast or in ballparks with domes, right? This is crazy to watch some of these guys play through this.
When we played high school baseball, like all the Chicago teams would come down to Southern Illinois to play at this point in the season because there was always snow up there. And I don't know, man, it has been raining nonstop here, like seriously 70% of the days for the past 2 months. And it looks like it's never going to end. We're just going to float away, man. My wife and I, we're start building a boat or something.
Yeah, man. Well, literally there is snow. I live in the Northeast. There is snow outside.
That's
right
much
now,
worse.
Covering. Yeah, it's the worst. So frankly, this is just ridiculous. It's April. Somebody's got to let Mother Nature go so we can really get baseball going in full force.
Even worse than all that, and this happens every single year after Easter, and I'm like trying to stop eating candy. I used to eat so much candy, but now I had like a couple tastes of candy, canker sore. It never stops. Every Easter, it happens to me, man.
Look, man, when you've got kids especially, the candy is just, your candy consumption is only going to get more as the years go on, as they start eating more and more. So you just better kind of accept it and get used to it and just watch a lot of baseball to get through it.
It's not worth it anymore, man. I'm going to start like eating Brussels sprouts so this never happens to me again. Well, not that far, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, that's the worst thing you've ever said, man. Just deal with the canker sores, eat chocolate, ignore the Brussels sprouts.
I would starve to death before I would eat Brussels sprouts, I'm pretty sure.
Okay, I actually like them, but you know, we're not going to get into food hot takes right now, okay? I married somebody.
Yeah, there's a lot to talk about, so let's just dive into it, man. First of all, maybe it's not the biggest news, but Greg Holland finally signs. We've had all these guys waiting to sign a contract. He was really the last big name, and he's one of the best 5, 6, 7, 8 closers in all of baseball. He signs with a team that's going to be in playoff contention, and he's going to be the closer before long, right?
Oh, yeah. I think he's basically going to come in. I think the rumor is that he's actually going to be activated on Monday, and I'm almost positive he's going to get the ninth right away. Obviously, Gregerson's been on the DL. Leon blew the save against the Brewers, I believe, the other night. So there's obviously no reason to get him in slowly. The Cards need to win some games. He goes right into the ninth, and I think I've updated my rankings, and I think he's probably a top 10 closer at this point. There's just little reason to doubt him at this point, so get him right in.
I really hope you guys drafted him. They've got so many arms in that bullpen. You mentioned Gregerson, Leon, who's very good. Jordan Hicks, who's been absolutely amazing. And by the way, you can pick him up as a starting pitcher, and you can play him every single day. There's other guys I like more, but you can do that. He's very good. They've also got Bud Norris, lots of guys in that Cardinals rotation. And, you know, I've got my ear to the pulse of Cardinals baseball being here in St. Louis, and they hate what Mozeliak did. This bullpen's so good, man. I love what he did this offseason.
Having a strong bullpen really just completely transforms your team. And I'm saying this basically as a Mets fan, we're obviously off to a good start, but now you look in our bullpen, and obviously before Swarzak got injured, you know, when you've got Familia and you've got Blevins and you've moved Gazelman in there and you've got Ramos, and it just completely changes your outlook on how you approach a game, and it gives you a lot of confidence. So personally, I think that Mozeliak really did a good job, frankly, with putting that bullpen together, and signing Holland was kind of the cherry on top. So I liked it.
By the way, I heard Cespedes say that the Mets team this year is way better than the team that won the pennant a few years ago. I'm watching these Mets play, man. They've got some serious talent. These boys can play some baseball.
So I was cautiously optimistic. You know, Bobby, I'm a Mets and a Jets fan. You're not allowed to be optimistic. I was cautiously optimistic. Now, you know, something's going to go wrong. You know, Syndergaard's going to, you know, mess up his elbow, and you're going to have 4 minor injuries that are going to turn into season ending. But right now, absolutely, they are legitimate. They have got a lot of depth. You know, Nemo has sort of proven that he's going to play. Conforto's back, homered off Strasburg in his first game. So realistically, they're if they stay healthy, they're definitely going to be playoff contending. I don't know whether or not they have enough to take on the Nationals to win the division.
Probably not.
They're for real, absolutely. Up and down the lineup and the pen and everything like that, they're for real. They should be a playoff team unless they get severely injured, which they usually do.
Plus, a really good sign is that Eagles are landing on other teams. Like it happened to James Paxton for the Mariners up in Minnesota during the national anthem. It's just absolutely incredible, and so much funnier too that he's a Canadian.
Yeah, and he pitched. That was yesterday, I think. And he pitched and he was just like, yeah, whatever. I'm cool. I think that's what happened. I'm literally talons are like digging into his shoulder. That it was like a horror movie to watch that. But he dealt with it.
It was so scary. He heard his quote. He said, well, I knew I wasn't going to outrun the eagle, so like, let's just see what happens here. He just tried to stand there and let the eagle land on him. I would not have been that calm. It's really remarkable that he did that.
Oh, absolutely. I would have been completely freaking out. I'm sure the eagle would have, I don't know, done something terrible. So kudos to Paxton for basically being awesome and just taking it.
That's so funny. Yeah. Other news here. Corey Knebel injured his hamstring. It could have been worse. He's going to be out at least 6 weeks, though. And apparently they're not naming a closer yet. They've got some serious arms in that pen. Matt Albers, you've got Josh Hader. A lot of people are thinking it's going to be Josh Hader because he's the best. He is the best, but I think they're going to use him for different types of outings where, you know, you've got the middle of the lineup with bases loaded or whatever, and he comes in. I think the guy is going to be Matt Albers. Who do you think it's going to be, Dan?
Yeah, if I was speculating, it would probably be Albers. Hader might be the best one in the bullpen, but I think he's probably the least likely to take over as the closer's role.
Yes.
Because Counsell's basically even suggested that he likes being able to use him in this whole multi-inning role. So for me, I think it would probably be Albers. Jacob Barnes has looked really good as well. Obviously,
yeah.
Jeffress has the quote-unquote closing experience. So, you know, we're recording this on Friday night. Maybe they'll win tonight against the Cubs, and then we'll see. But if I had to pick somebody up right now, frankly, it would be Albers. I agree with you. Just, you know, he's got sort of the combination of stuff and, you know, some closing experience enough to be there. So that'd be my guy for now. But again, we're largely just guessing at this point.
I'm not spending more than like $3 fab bucks on Albers. And frankly, I mean, they were grooming Barnes to be the closer for a while. I want to pour water on Jeffress thing. He is going to get like 30 Ks this year. I really doubt that they use him when they've got Albers and Barnes. I know some people have been suggesting it because he's done it before, but I don't think there's really any chance of that.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely third on the pecking order. It's kind of a toss-up for me between Albers and Barnes.
Both.
Yeah, could be both, frankly. He may not go with a designated guy, but frankly, I mean, look, you know, I understand that sort of it might be better to have, you know, to not name your designated closer, have a guy who can go in the eighth inning, you know, if you need to and stuff like that. But I really do think, frankly, that bullpens work better when guys understand their roles, generally speaking. I think it's good to have one guy who kind of goes down there. So again, my money would be, I guess, on Albers, but like you, I would spend minimal fab to find out.
The rest of the injury recap here, Dan. We got Delano DeShields. It's been a while since he got hurt, so you forget. We haven't done a podcast since then. He's out for a long time. I'm going to go ahead and drop him unless I have DL spots. Then, of course, you DL him because he's going to come back and steal a lot of bases. Salvador Perez hurt himself moving his luggage. I don't know why this stuff never happens in other sports, but it always happens in baseball. Greg Bird, he's got the spur issue in his foot. Again, they're removing some bone spurs with surgery. He's going to be out for a while, which really stinks because I think he was ready to break out. And then billions of people on the 10-day DL, just like last year. It's going to be that way. I'm making a vow right now. We're not going to cover those guys. It's just 10 days. If it's going to be longer than that, we'll touch on them. But there's like 20 people. We could do a whole episode for this every single week, and it's not going to make that much of a difference.
Yeah, I mean, in most of my leagues, we've at least expanded to 2 DL spots. Some of them have 4, you know what I mean?
Because I'm all for 4 or 5.
Yeah, no, it's fine. I mean, there's so many guys who go on. Obviously, the guys you mentioned, DeShields, Perez, Bird, they're going to be on for a substantial amount of time. So those guys, you know, look, if you can hold them, fine. I mean, the one thing is, the thing with really both DeShields and Bird is that we haven't really seen it from them. A lot of it is based on potential. DeShields, obviously, the guys who can steal 40 bags are just few and far between. So
yeah.
I think probably if you drafted him, even if you got him late, you were relying on him for those steals. So if he is back, even in 4 to 6 weeks or whatever his time frame is, I think it would be good to hold him. And Bird, you know, like you, everybody, me too, kind of expected big things from him. But I mean, again, it's that foot or ankle or whatever it is that bothered him last year. It's just, you know, I don't think I'm expecting all that much from him at all this year.
Yeah, foot injuries, man, they kill power hitters. It's the hamate bone injuries in that hand. When you break that, you're pretty much screwed as a power hitter. And then when you have foot injuries, I mean, it completely derailed Albert Pujols' career. And that's not just the only example. It's time and time again when these power hitters get foot injuries, they just linger for an entire career. And I'm afraid that's going to happen with Bird. I don't want to put it on him, but it seems to be going that way.
Yeah, it's really disappointing, frankly, that it was the same one that bothered him early, you know, last season and cost him the majority of the season. It's just at this point, you know, it's potential. Look, I loved him. The projection systems loved him. You know, he's going to bat in the middle of that lineup. There's tons of potential. But at this point, you've got to be pessimistic on him. Again, if you have a ton of DL spots and you can keep him, sure. But I really am not going to be sitting there thinking like, well, you know, when Greg Bird gets back in 6 weeks, he's really going to be a savior, because I just don't think you can count on it at this point.
I'd much rather drop him and pick up Jimmy Nelson if he's available in your league and stash him on the DL. When he comes back, probably be an ace.
Yeah, I agree. You know, Nelson obviously has his own sort of issues, but yeah, certainly a guy like Nelson has the potential to be an impact pitcher when he comes up. And if I really need a spot, I'm not hesitating to drop Bird if I have to.
Alex Reyes too, man. Alex Reyes, I can't wait till he comes back. Of course, there's not going to be a spot in the rotation because Jack Flaherty, he's so good.
Jack Flaherty, I'm not kidding, needs to be 100% old. I'm not even exaggerating. I mean, the idea that he is not going to crack their rotation at some point in the next...
He's mad, too, which is awesome.
Absolutely. You love that, right? He, like, wouldn't talk to reporters when they said you're getting sent down for Adam Wainwright. And look, I love Adam Wainwright generally for his career, even though he's the author of the worst curveball, you know, in my franchise history. But he's been a phenomenal pitcher. But no, not any longer. And actually, yesterday... he did not look good, and his velocity really decreased per inning. I'm not sure he's fully healthy. Either way, Flaherty's going to be back in the rotation, I think, by the end of April. I own him in a ton of leagues. I am not dropping him in a single one. If he's out there right now, and he is, I mean, I think he's 25% owned or something, get him now. Don't wait for him to be called up where there's going to be a mad rush. Own him now. He is going to be an impact pitcher when he gets a start, which I really assume is going to be within 3 weeks.
If somebody dropped him, go pick him up right now before it's too late, because there's going to be a mad dash when he's called back up, and you don't want to spend 20 fab bucks when you can get it for free now and just use a bench spot for a couple weeks.
No, absolutely. Bench spots, that's really what they're designed to do, right? I mean, obviously, you want to be able to if you have an injury, to fill, you know, a spot with a guy who can play every day. But for the most part, I like to use my bench. Same thing in football, for upside, right? I like to have the guys who can be real difference makers. And I remember when Jose Fernandez first came up and nobody really knew what to make of him. That's the guy you keep on. And he had an okay beginning, and then he just really took off. That's the type of guy Flaherty can be. I mean, I think he struck out 9 Brewers in his first start. He looked awesome. He's really a phenomenal talent, and I would absolutely, he's like my number one ad. If he should not be unowned, in my opinion, in basically any league of any size.
My number one ad is on the same team. We'll talk about him later. We're going to get to the mailbag here in just a second. We've got one more news item. It's Michael Conforto coming back, as you mentioned. And do you think he's going to be the same guy, or is he just so injury prone that you're not so excited about him?
I am beyond excited about him, both on a personal level, as you know, as a Mets fan, but from a fantasy standpoint, absolutely. I mean, I am shocked that he came back this early. I really thought that May 1st deadline, I mean, shoulder injuries, you know, you see them more with pitchers, but even with hitters, it can take a year. It can derail your entire career. And the fact that he tore it just on the swing was really, really scary. His rehab went well. He looked awesome in spring training, and he hit a home run, especially to the opposite field off Strasburg in his first game back. I think they're probably going to be a little careful with him. You know, they actually have some outfield depth right now because Nimmo is playing so well. Lagares can obviously hit against lefties. So I think that they'll probably be a little careful with him, especially early on in the cold weather. But absolutely, I mean, for me, probably I'd have him ranked as borderline top 20 outfielder the rest of the way. I have very few concerns about him, and he is an absolutely legitimate hitter. He has been from the day they drafted him.
Fact or fiction, Dan? Bats 270 with at least 35 homers.
I'm going to call fiction because I think 35 homers. I mean, he did hit 27. He was probably on pace.
He's got to play like the full season if he's hitting 35 homers. That's, I don't know if he will.
And they'll probably bench him against lefties, you know what I mean, at some point. And they'll be careful with him. Again, they have depth, so I don't think he reaches 35. I do think he bats higher than 270. And I think he'll probably, assuming that he doesn't sustain any other injury, I think he'll probably challenge 30 would be my guess. But I think 35 might be pushing it. I think it's a monster year. And for those of you who really at least had the draft before that they even decided that they were going to move up his time frame or anything like that, and you have him on your team, consider yourself really, really lucky, because you probably got him at an absolute bargain.
I got a lot of crap when I was telling people to go pick him up. Like, you're going to recommend drafting someone who's already injured? Well, yeah, because when he comes back, and it's probably going to be pretty soon, he's going to be awesome. I hope you guys drafted him. I did. You know, I made some bad calls as well, of course. But, you know, the Conforto one, I got that one.
Yeah, no, I mean, I certainly, right up until basically the end of draft season, right before when they sort of suggested that there was a lot of optimism and he was showing big in spring, I was certainly telling fantasy owners to stay away from him because, again, you just don't know. And especially given the fact that, you know, the Mets, you know, history with injuries, which we joke about, but they, I mean, it's terrible. They screw up everything. So you really thought this would be a guy who would never make it back ahead of the projected time frame. And so, look, I'm elated both, you know, really as a real baseball fan. As a fantasy owner, I'm not that excited because I don't own any shares of him, and seeing him go up on my opponent's team is a little scary. But I do think, frankly, that if you drafted him, you really got a bargain.
We'll jump into the listener mailbag questions here in a second, and there's some really good ones. But first, since baseball season is here, it's time to celebrate. DraftKings is set to give out over $1 million in total prizes every day. One Day Fantasy Baseball at DraftKings is like those season-long leagues you play in with your friends. But at DraftKings, the season only lasts one day, so you can pick a new team whenever you want. When I play, there's always too many players I want, so I mix it up, get a handful of teams in there every day. That way I've always got, you know, one or two doing well at the end of the night so I can root for them and watch those games. Maybe you've been hearing about this for a while and you haven't given it a chance yet. I'm telling you, it's a ton of fun. I seriously play every day except for Sundays. Plus, you can win some serious money when you do it. If you're ready to jump in, use the code PROS, that's P-R-O-S, at DraftKings.com now and play for free with your first deposit in the daily 10K contest. That's code PROS, P-R-O-S, to play free only at DraftKings.com. $5 deposit required. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. All right, Dan, listener mailbag time. And if you want to send in questions, it's mailbag@fantasypros.com. Try to keep them short and sweet. Tell me your name, where you're from. We'll try to get as many of them on the show as we can that makes sense for the listeners. Not like, you know, should I trade him for him? Nobody really cares about that. I'll answer it if I can, if I have time. Try to get to as many as possible. This is the one I saw the most, Dan. I had this asked maybe 15 different ways. Is it too early to overreact at this point in the season?
Well, I mean, the short answer is yes. You definitely should not be. You should never overreact, obviously. But
exactly.
It's six games, right? I mean, I think most teams have played six games. If you had a six-game stretch in June, nobody would notice at all. It's just because it's the beginning of the season. You can take into account certain things. I'm sure we'll talk about a few guys whose early season performance has moved the needle a little bit. But don't basically, look, a lot of prep went into draft season. A lot of prep went into projections and rankings and stuff like that. The idea that they're going to change wildly after a couple of games, it's just not going to happen. So yes, the short answer is yes, it's too early to draw any huge conclusions from one or two pitching starts from, you know, six or seven games hitting or anything like that. But, you know, you can still pay attention and move the needle a little bit on some guys.
I mean, it's called overreact. You can react, but I mean, it's been six games. That's like 1/30th of the season, right? That's the equivalent to like one half of one game in football. Are you seriously going to react to one half of one game in fantasy football? Of course not. I say it every year, and I'm not trying to be condescending, but really, this is my job to do whatever it takes to help you win fantasy championships. And the best thing I can tell you is just chill out. Don't drop James Paxton. Don't trade Tommy Pham for some scrub. He's one of the best hitters in baseball. Granted, I mean, he's been playing a lot better lately, so you're not making that decision. But I had a bunch of people ask me, like, oh, no, should I sell low on Tommy Pham? No, it's been like two games. Don't trade Jose Ramirez for Zach Cozart or Andrew Benintendi for Lorenzo Cain. Just chill, people. Don't ruin your fantasy baseball season before we get started, please. These are real questions, Dan, or are they just like pulling my leg? My hair's falling out over here. I don't understand how people really consider these things.
No, it's absolutely legitimate. We do occasional Ask Me Anything AMA sessions on Reddit, and I did one yesterday. And yeah, those types of questions come in all the time. I mean, people who are really just like, look, I'm just dropping Luis Castillo, which was before. I think he had a start tonight. I don't think it was great. He said, I'm just dropping Luis Castillo. I was like, no, you don't do that. It was
trade him, if anything.
At the time. Right, exactly. If you really are worried about it, which, by the way, you shouldn't be yet. It's two starts. And at that point, it was one start. Just don't overreact. I mean, it sounds silly that we have to sort of say this, but absolutely, with 100% certainty, fantasy owners out there, they really do. And look, I get it. You know, you've been waiting the whole time, and then there's stuff, and a guy has, you know, a few hot games or a stinker, and you get really worried about it. I get it, skirt, but just, you know, kill that instinct in you and just have some patience. It's a long game. It's a long season, so just wait it out.
You know what? In roto leagues, I don't even look at the standings until I'm like a month into the season, because I don't want to freak out. Like, you know, I set my lineups and everything. I set them in advance for the probable pitchers and everything. But baseball's such a long season. You can't go through fantasy baseball grinding day to day, looking at every single box score, wondering what went wrong. What do you got to change? Just sit still. Let your lineup do its thing. If you prepped well in the draft, if you pick up the right free agents, you're going to win. That's all it really comes down to.
Yeah, so I do look at the standings, if I'm being completely honest, but I don't do anything in reaction to those standings. I'm not like, man, I'm really light in home runs. I've got to really make a move for home runs or anything like that. I don't care about them. Really, my rule of thumb is generally May 15th. That's the first day where I'll allow myself to think about the standings and think that they actually mean anything and see. Usually, I try to wait till June 1st. But that's sort of where I say, okay, this is what my team is looking like right now. Let me see what I have to do. Yeah, just sort of ride it out. This is the bottom line is this. Every hitter, every pitcher has streaks, okay? They're going to be hot for a while. They're going to be cold for a while. They may be hot or they may be cold right out of the gate. It's nothing to worry about. Just it's a long game. You got to have a lot of patience. Trust the process, which is a phrase that everybody uses now because of the 76ers. But literally, that's what needs to happen. Relax, trust the process. Everything will work out. And eventually, if it's not working, then you can move on. But for now, don't overreact.
I think you're able to actually look at the standings because you have more self-control than me. I would probably be one of these guys that panics. You know, my producer really should panic, though. He should look at the standings because I'm beating him 11-0. Granted, that's just in stolen bases, but he needs to figure something out there.
Yeah. Well, in that case, you got to really make a move and absolutely, producer, get on it.
We won't talk about the other stats. He is killing it this week. It's going to be a long season if my boys don't start hitting.
Yeah, but I'm sure, obviously, you're not going to overreact to the fact that your guys aren't hitting after 1 week, which is basically what we're preaching.
Yeah, not at all. Blake from Tennessee, he wants to know if he should be worried about Kenley Jansen. What do you think, Dan?
This is sort of an instance where there's at least some concern, right? Because the velocity has been way down, okay? Like, if he got hit ordinarily, you'd be like, oh, whatever, that sucks and that's weird. But because the velocity is down, you know, I think there was something in the dugout where, you know, somebody, at least the commentator, was saying it looked like he was rubbing his shoulder. So, you know, I'm not completely unconcerned, but I'm not first of all, you definitely shouldn't sell him because, you know, you'd be selling low at this point. So for now, I would expect Kenley Jansen to be fine. A lot of guys' velocity are down. I don't know if it's the cold weather. I don't know what it is. But, you know, because of how much he worked last year, especially, you know, throughout the playoffs and in the World Series, and because his velocity is so down so far, I'd be mildly concerned. But I would not be making any moves forward, and I would not be thinking there's a DL stint coming or that he'll be, poor the rest of the season. I would still expect him to be the best closer, but I my antennas are a little raised.
I don't care that he's struggling or that the perception is that, he's worse, and so you couldn't get, you know, a fifth or sixth round value for him if you traded him, even though you drafted him in the third. I am selling him if I drafted him because he's not worth anywhere close to that. First of all, you should probably go through the five steps of grief for wasting a third round pick on a closer. I mean, you missed out on getting Corey Seager or Justin Verlander for a closer when you could pick up saves basically for free any week or stud relievers like Josh Hader, who's going to help you in ratios and Ks for free. Second, yeah, you should be worried. He's throwing beach balls up there, man.
Yeah, I mean, his early performance certainly has been terrible. And really, again, though, it's the velocity. When it's significantly down, that is scary. But again, at this point, there's really nothing you can do about it. You're not going to sell him because anybody who's going to buy him at this point is going to be buying way low. He may be completely fine and we may forget about this. Remember, you know, Clayton Kershaw a couple of years ago, maybe each of the last years, he had like an early start where he gave up 7 runs and everybody sort of freaks out. You know what I mean? It's not something where I would be totally worried. Although I do agree with you, frankly, if you did spend a third round pick on Kenley Jansen, that was a mistake, but there's nothing you can do about
it. I should
that
have been
now.
Nicer. Sorry, guys.
No, it's fine. That was certainly a mistake. And, you know, anyway, in the end, this is somebody where early spring returns, mainly because of velocity, certainly can make you a little worried, but I wouldn't do anything drastic.
Will from Colorado says Ohtani's outing looks spectacular. What's your takeaway? Should I sell high?
Maybe. I like him. I always liked him sort of coming into this season. Part of it obviously depends on whether or not you can what your league setting is. If it's daily sort of changes and you can move him between hitter and pitcher, then sure. But I don't think he's going to be anywhere close to as good a hitter as he's shown, although you'd never want to discount a home run off Kluber. I think that, you know, what he should in the spring, he'll get figured out. I do like him a lot as a pitcher. I think I had him ranked pretty high coming into the season. I think it's the 24th starter, and I'd expect him to do basically similar to what he gave you in that first start, which was very good.
Yeah,
but his innings are going to be limited. You know, he's probably not going to pass 150. So basically, I'm excited about him. If somebody gets really excited about the hitting and they can use him as a hitter, then yeah, I'd sell high. But other than that, no, I think he's going to be great this year. And other than innings being limited, I think that this is the real deal.
at the very best as a hitter, he's Josh Reddick, right? I mean, Josh Reddick is borderline ownable. He's going to play 400 at bats. Otani's going to play 300, 350. He's going to swat you 15, 20 homers. That's nice. He's going to bat 260. That's solid. But he's not going to play that much to get you the counting stats. I think there's probably better hitters available in your league. Now, if you're selling right now with him as a pitcher, it won't be selling high. I mean, I think his stock is nowhere near as high as it's going to end up, and you'll be kicking yourself if you trade him, Will. People are still nervous about the runs he gave up in the spring, and maybe that's why you're asking, is because you're nervous, and it really wasn't that big of a deal. Maybe that's why you want to trade him, right? I've got no worries about Otani. I think he's a true ace. He's been crushing baseballs, too, and he looks significantly better offensively than I expected. I mean, he's running. He's the dude is fast. He looks better than advertised in every single way. He's so special, man.
Yeah, he's a great player. Again, I'm really not sure what he's going to be as a hitter this year. It's an amazing start, right? He looked pretty terrible in the spring as a hitter, but it's really been an awesome start. If you can use him as sort of this, when he pitches, you start him as a pitcher, and when he hits, you can start him as a hitter, then great. He's got a ton of value. Again, as an ace, I can see fantasy owners basically just being like, because it's so exciting and seeing how he started, even if you don't really think about like, how well is he actually pitching or what he's doing, people are just like, oh my God, Otani is amazing. I've got to have this guy. Then sure, I would be fine to sell high. But I definitely expect him to be an impact pitcher this year. I was not worried about the spring. I know his draft price really, really fell. I didn't lower him in my rankings particularly. But again, the big thing for me is he's going to have his innings capped, you know, whatever, you know, if they do a six man, I don't know what they're going to do with Shoemaker out, but you know, he'll probably be capped at 150. So that kind of limits his value. But I definitely think he is going to be an impact starter.
Ty from Pennsylvania says, Rhys Hoskins is mashing. You ready to admit you're wrong, Bobby? First, Dan, I'll let you go first. What did you think about Hoskins, and has your opinion changed?
So I actually looked him up. Just I wanted to see where I was, and I had him exactly at ECR of 47. That's exactly where I had him ranked. So I kind of felt like I was a little low on him because I'm generally a little skeptical of young players who give you a great sort of quarter or half of a season. I like to see guys have some sort of major injury and some sort of downturn on their career before coming back up, before I'm really ready to trust them. But either way, nothing from his early season will have made me sort of move the needle at all. I mean, he's off to a very nice start. I don't expect him to have a 538 BABIP the whole year, especially with a 14% hard contact rate. So, I mean, I think it's been a little fluky, but in the end, he's a great player. He's going to have an exciting career, but you know, I had him ranked at 47. I imagine that's probably where I have him in my rest of season ranking. So not moving the needle for me.
You know, he's got two stolen bases already. I didn't see that coming. I'll admit that. He has had a nice start to the season. Not incredible though. I mean, like every single week, I mean, we're looking at 1 week of baseball so far. Every single week, there's 20, 30 guys who bat 400 with one homer. Right. I mean, it's not super special what he's doing. I mean, remember, he had a nice start to last season. Then he batted 220 for an entire month. I was never down on Hoskins. I just don't see why he should spend a top 40 pick on a guy who was worse last year than Matt Olson, who went 80 picks later. Or when you get outfielders like Conforto or Carlos Gonzalez for pennies later. I mean, I'll say this for Hoskins. He looks like a veteran at the plate. But I think he's going to put up Anthony Rizzo numbers someday soon. I really believe that. I wish I had some shares, but I'm more than happy that I quote-unquote reached for Tommy Pham when I could have had Hoskins at the same price. You know, I've actually been more impressed with Joey Gallo's at-bats. Not, I mean, obviously Hoskins is on another level, but I mean, the results haven't really been there for Gallo like they have been for Hoskins, but he's taken some great at-bats, hidden lasers for outs. He's being patient. If he can do that, I think he can hit 250, 260 in this league, lead the league in homers. Again, you could have got him 60 picks after Hoskins.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to really be negative on Hoskins because I do like him. And I mean, again,
yeah, how can you be?
Yeah. And by the way, one of his stolen bases, I'm pretty sure, was off Noah Syndergaard, which really isn't allowed to count when you're thinking about a guy doing any sort of steals. But yeah, look, he's good. But, you know, right now, essentially, he does not strike me as a guy who's like potentially a league winner. You know, it just, he's a guy. He's a very, very good player. I think he'll be an impact. I'd love to have him. But, you know, I do a lot of auctions at this point. I don't do that many drafts. His auction prices were insane because I think people love the young kid. And again, I'm pretty sure he hit like 38 home runs in the minors the year before last. He's got tons of power. You know,
in a huge hitter's park, though.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's true. But look, that's where he is now. I mean, the Phillies lineup is better than sort of, I think, the casual observer kind of knows. So I do think he's going to have a good year, and I really don't mean to poo-poo him in any way. But again, yeah, he's not a guy who I targeted in any league. I own zero shares. I'd like to. But no, I mean, to the extent you sounds like we probably had him in a similar spot, I wouldn't be admitting I was wrong if I were you. So I agree. And as for Gallo, yeah, I'm not. I mean, Gallo, you know, is off to a slow start, obviously, sort of this year. But, you know, I'm not worried about Gallo either. I do expect him to probably threaten to lead the league in home runs by the time it's over. And I think his batting average is obviously going to come up. He looked great in the spring, you know. And so I do think he's probably, in the end, going to have a fine year. And his strikeout rate so far, I mean, it's early, but it's 30%, right? That you can live with that.
I'll take it.
No, he was at 37% last year. So if he can keep it at around that number, I think he's going to have a big year. But again, I'm not comparing him to Hoskins, obviously, but is what you were saying. Yeah, Hoskins just the guy who his draft price, I couldn't get behind.
All right, last one, and then we're going into the lightning round, Dan. Nick from New York says the humidor doesn't seem to be working. Is now the time to buy low on all their hitters and sell all their pitchers?
Nope, I don't think so. I think in the end, the bottom line is I don't think anybody can draw any conclusions yet. You've obviously seen a lot of huge games happen there. But, you know, I've watched a couple of games to try to get a sense of it. And all I can say is the broadcasters talk about it like they've seen it making an impact for sure. I've seen a couple of balls, I forgot who it was, but in the Dodgers series that looked rocketed off the bat, that just kind of died in the outfield. So it may be making more of an impact than sort of the casual observer can sort of understand. So for me, I'd reserve judgment until we get more data. I wouldn't be kind of moving the needle either way at this point.
Small sample size, Nick. Sorry, man. I can't make any conclusions here. I'll say this on both ends, okay? I've watched the games, and like Dan said, the ball has been hit hard, and it's not going anywhere. If you watch last year, you kind of bloop one, it goes over the fence, right? I mean, that's the way the Arizona was. It's entirely different. Maybe it's because it's colder. It's really not very cold there. Maybe when they close the roof, it'll be different. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't have any real conclusions, but the Diamondbacks players said when the ball's off their bat, it feels no different whatsoever. It's the same baseball as last year. And it feels different in Arizona than it does in other places. So I don't know which one I'll believe. I'll tell you what, I'm buying Robbie Ray right now. Everyone's panicking about Robbie Ray. Well, give me Robbie Ray. I'll take him.
Yeah, I mean, Ray is a guy who, if I'm being honest, I was pretty out on. I mean, look, he's got fantastic stuff, obviously. I mean, there's little sort of to worry about in terms of his ability to strike out batters and everything like that. But, you know, for me, I don't know, man, the walks are something that I anytime he goes out there, I could just, you know, he's walked, I think, 8 in 11 innings so far this year. I
mean, he's scary.
He's scary. But, you know, again, he's a guy who I own zero shares of, and I'm not at all surprised by that. But either way, frankly, he could succeed regardless of the humidor. You just can't tell at this point. However you felt about him coming in with what you thought the humidor was going to do, I would feel exactly the same way about him. There's just no way. Again, we'd say not overreact. That comes to this too. But the one thing I'll say when I'm thinking about it is, you know, Colorado, obviously, they use the humidor in Coors Field, but it's still a fantastic hitter's park, right? It's not like you use the humidor and all of a sudden there's no offense whatsoever, you know? So I think the overreaction here of people being like, you know, oh, you know, look, there's huge scoring in a couple of games. Just don't buy into it, you know, just wait it out. Let's see what happens. And again, like you, I've definitely seen some balls that look like they were scalded that just kind of died out there. And last year, when you saw any sort of ball hit with hard contact, it was gone. So it's probably making an impact, but I'd hold.
You know, there's been huge scoring in San Diego too, right? I mean, it's happened from time to time in these pitchers' parks. It's too early to say.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, lightning round. And what this means, Dan, is we're just not going to break everything down and be super analytical. It's just a straight up answer. What would you tell Blake from Iowa? Paul DeJong might hit 40 homers. Truth or overreaction?
Overreaction. He did hit 38 last year between the majors and the minors, but let's see him stop striking out 40% of the time first.
I say truth. I also think it's very possible he hits 220. Maybe he'll do both. You know, I think he's a near identical player to Matt Davidson, who's owned now, but he wasn't owned at the beginning of the season. Huge power, huge concerns at the plate, worth owning, going to be a headache at times.
Yeah, all right. That's fair. I'll go over on the 40. I'll go under on the 40, sorry.
Oh, I'm going under, too. I think he could hit 40 is what I'm saying.
Yeah, no, sure. I mean, it's possible. He's got tons of power, but, you know, he's a guy who I'd be more than happy to own. But yeah, there's going to be some dry spells.
Danny from Florida, he says, Gerrit Cole looked like an ace. Jason Stark tweeted he might have the best stuff in the league. Do you buy it?
Not that he has the best stuff in the league, but utterly buying him as a pitcher this year. You know what the Astros do. They tell you to throw your fastball less. That's exactly what he did in his first start. Threw it just 52% of the time, down from his 60. He threw his slider and his curveball at career highs. He looked amazing. I was buying him before the season. I'm buying him even more now. Absolutely.
I think Charlie Morton and Lance McCullers have better stuff than Gerrit Cole. With that said, I think Cole's going to be better than his draft price. He looks like the old dominant Gerrit Cole that, you know, we remember from 5 years ago. There's a reason we have positive biases towards him, just because he was so good 4 or 5 years ago that we still hold out to hope that he's going to bounce back that. I think he's there.
Yeah, I mean, the bottom line is he just threw his fastball so much. His fastball's great. It's hard, but he's never had a huge strikeout rate because every major leaguer can hit a 96-mile-an-hour fastball. You got to vary your arsenal. The Astros have the magic touch. They're really working it with all of their starters. I think they're going to work it with Cole. I think if you drafted him, you're going to be extremely happy for the rest of the season.
They can hit a 96-mile-per-hour fastball, but not a Jordan Hicks 102-mile-per-hour fastball that registers as a sinker because it has so much movement.
That's true. If you are in a velocity league or any sort of league that rewards velocity, pick up Hicks immediately because I'm pretty sure he has like the 8 fastest pitches in the majors or something this year. So it's impressive.
I think I'm more excited about him than you are Michael Conforto. And it's really stupid because Hicks is like our 5th best relief pitcher and it doesn't matter. But he's so fun to watch.
Yeah, no, it is certainly fun to watch, but I don't know if it's possible for you to be more excited about anything than I am about Michael Conforto.
Don from Pennsylvania, Kingery and McMahon are not playing full time. Should I cut them?
I'm kind of agnostic on it. You know, I feel like I view them as kind of decent stashes, right? If you're going to own, you know, any of these guys who could come up and make a difference and you're stashing somebody, then you can keep Kingery and McMahon on your roster. I think they're both very talented, but you know, until they get consistent playing time, I don't think you can start them regularly. So if you have room on your bench, I'd keep them owned. But if you, you know, need to move on and you need somebody to play right now, I have no trouble dropping either one personally.
I'm keeping Kingery in any league. I mean, would you have dropped Ben Zobrist back in the day when he was playing 500, 450 at bats for the Rays in every position? That's what Kingery's doing. He's not playing every day, but he's playing almost every day. McMahon, cut him. I am so mad at the Rockies. They are blowing this. I cannot believe this. It's absolute garbage.
Yeah, I don't know what the Rockies are doing, frankly. I don't know what they're doing with anybody.
Rocky stuff?
You know, yeah, they're doing some crazy Rocky stuff. Yeah, no, I mean, McMahon, look, I don't know. I mean, it's like a stash. Like, if he gets, eventually, if it's just like, hey, you're an everyday player, then he'll probably be good. Kingery, again, I like him a lot. I really do. I feel like Zobrist was at least playing every day. I feel like Kingery's more of like a 4 or 5 times a week. But again, he's fine. I just don't care. I don't view him in like leagues where you can only make weekly lineup moves. I'm rarely going to start him, I think.
Brandon from Guam. Do you trust Johnny Cueto's fast start?
No. No, I don't. I don't think it's rocket science. I liked Cueto. I was buying him before the season. He's got just 5 strikeouts in 13 innings. His velocity is
not good.
He looks like he had, you know, a few too many breakfasts, you know, the morning before a start. So, if you can sell him high for sure. My guess is that most people are going to see those numbers and not want to sell him high. I'm not selling him. Like, I'm not just getting rid of him, but I'm not buying that he's, you know, back to being what he was in this heyday or anything close to it.
I'm buying that he'll have a 3.5 ERA. That's solid.
Sure.
I'm buying that he'll have a decent whip. He's going to strike out like 150 guys in 200 innings, though.
Yeah.
That's not going to cut it for his ADP, in my opinion. So I don't think that he's going to be like some Cy Young candidate, if that's what you're saying, Brandon. I've been impressed. I mean, he's still really tricky. That's who Johnny Cueto is. He'll probably pitch till he's 55 because he's so tricky, but he's not an ace anymore.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely, you and I actually had a little debate earlier in the offseason about, you know, whether or not he was done or whether or not we could kind of write off last year to the blisters. And I was more than willing to write off last year. And look, so far, he looks out of shape. His velocity is down. He's crafty. He knows how to pitch. He pitches in one of the best parks that you could possibly pitch in. So I think he'll certainly be useful. I'm definitely not looking to just get rid of him for anything, but I'm not buying him basically giving up maybe one run in 13 innings or whatever he's done.
Randy from South Carolina. Brad Zimmer sucks. Should I drop him?
Well, that's blunt. No, I don't think so. Personally, I'd hold. Look, especially with the Shield's going down. There just aren't that many guys out there who even have the potential to steal 40 bags. Now, Zimmer's off to a slow start, and even when he plays, he's batting ninth. So I get it. There's frustration. But it's, again, don't overreact. It's a few games. If you drafted Zimmer, you got to hold him. He's got loads of talent. He definitely could be an impact guy in the stolen base department. So I personally would not drop or even consider dropping him.
He's not going to lose his job. I mean, he's so good defensively. He's a lock for 15 homers, 30 stolen bases. Yeah, maybe his batting average is 220. Maybe it's 250. So what? I mean, he's not going to hit 154 on the season with 300 strikeouts. That's what he's on pace for right now. Just remember, last year in August, Mike Trout had a five-game stretch where he had zero hits and struck out a ton. I'm not saying Brad Zimmer is Mike Trout. I'm saying that the best hitters have bad stretches. Just hold on to Zimmer. You're going to have a good one.
Yeah, no, there's no way I would consider dropping him at this point. Again, he just for the potential, there just aren't that many guys that could very easily steal 40 bags and give you decent counting stats all around, and Zimmer's one of them, so definitely hold.
Evan from Vermont, who gets called up first, Willie Calhoun or Bobby's son?
Can your son throw with his left hand? Because if he
Yes, he can. He is a tall lefty.
He's basically already a major leaguer. That's all it pretty much takes at this point, so there it goes. No, look, I assume Calhoun is going to get the call. I mean, the Rangers outfield right now with the DeShields injury is Mazzara, who's great, and then Ryan Rua and Drew Robinson with Chu basically kind of mixing in at DH and stuff like that. Like, you can't tell me that Willie Calhoun can't improve this. Look, unless they want to wait for the Super 2, you know, deadline, which is usually in June, I assume since there was some talk of him making the team out of spring training that they may call him up at some point soon, because, you know, you buy an extra year of control once he's down for another week or something. So my guess is he'll be up before the end of April, and I hope so. I mean, that outfield is just calling for
I'm saying within the next 20 days he'll be up. It seems like it's never going to happen, and I'll tell you what, when Calhoun comes up, he's going to be mad. He's going to crush baseballs. He's going to crush baseballs either way, because that's what he does. But yeah, I'm excited. I think he'll be up soon, Evan.
Yeah, he's a legitimate hitter, and he's the type of guy who you should add and stash now. Avoid the mad rush, kind of like what we said with Flaherty early on. Get him on your roster now, clear some room, so that when he comes up, you can just have him ready to go.
All right, Dan, here's my favorite pickup. Lewis from Florida says, is Jose Martinez the real deal? Every clip I see, he's destroying the ball.
Well, I would defer to you on it, but for me, yep. He looks absolutely legitimate. My concern with him coming into this year was much less about his ability to hit and much more about whether or not he was going to have an everyday job. And now, especially with Jed Jerko's injury, Carpenter can basically stay at third, and Martinez can stay at first. And even before then, it sounded like they liked him. I mean, I saw him in the first series, obviously, against the Mets. Watch it closely. That guy can hit, so I am buying it for sure.
I had him exactly the same as Yasmani Tomas, like pick 350. You can't get him unless he's a deep league, because he's not going to play because Jerko's there, right? But now that he's playing every day, I moved him up into my top 200. Maybe he's another Matt Adams that fades quietly in a few months. Maybe he's Justin Smoke this year. Either way, you have to add him immediately before it's too late. Jose Martinez is the real deal.
Yeah, he's 100% in my top 200. You know, I update my rest of season rankings every week because I do the trade chart, and he's definitely cracked the top 200 for me. So I have very few concerns about his bat or his playing time going forward. So if you got him, way to go.
Dan, I want to stop before we go to the waiver wire and just say, we're killing it, man. Like, okay, you know, we didn't do an episode earlier this week, so we're kind of squeezing two episodes into one, the listener mailbag and the waiver wire. Dan and I were like, this is going to take 5 hours because we're both long-winded. We've got time to nail this thing, man. We're going to hit on every single player.
You've probably jinxed us, but let's go. I'm ready to keep moving. Let's get it out of the way.
All right, man. Waiver wire, we're going to start with two hitters that I like. Michael Brantley is back, and when he plays, he's going to hit 300 with a little bit of power. What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. He's certainly an ad, definitely in points league, obviously, because he hits for such you know, high average, everything like that. He's a fine guy to add at the back end sort of your outfield in Roto, but he will get injured. I mean, you know, he's just really yeah. has a difficult time staying healthy, but when he plays, 100%, he is just solid all around, 15-15 type guy, going to help all around. So definitely an ad, definitely a guy to have in your lineup.
He's kind of like Michael Conforto light, not the same type of player, but in terms of, you know, he's back, he's probably going to get hurt because he's injury prone. But while he's going, you've got a good one. I mean, he's worth starting every single day in every single league. And if you've got a player like that, you pick him up.
And especially in rotisserie leagues where you probably are starting five outfielders, a guy who you just know you can plug in there. He's not going to wow you in any category, maybe batting average, but he's going to contribute all over. And he's just, those are the types of guys that really, really make the difference in rotisserie leagues.
What do you think about Steven Piscotty? He was bad last year after a good rookie year. He's struggling so far. He's been dropped in quite a few leagues as a result. I'm picking him up, though.
Yeah, I'm not calling him a must-add, but I definitely think that he should be owned in most leagues, for sure. I mean, he's off to a slow start this year. But, you know, people are forgetting 2 years ago, he was a legitimate, like, fantasy, I won't call him a stud, but he was a must-own player for sure.
He was the three-hitter for a playoff team.
Yeah, and the Cardinals know what they're doing, and they gave him that extension. And really, you know, everybody knows about his mom and having Lou Gehrig's disease, and that's part of why he's in Oakland now. So, you know, last year, that obviously kind of messed with him a little bit. So I'd be adding him. I think there's good things to come. Again, not a must-add, but certainly somebody who, if he's out there and I need either a bench piece or I need somebody to fill like a fourth or fifth outfielder, I'd feel fine adding Piscotty for sure.
I've seen the hottest pickups, and you know, they're not hot compared to Steven Piscotty. I can't believe some of these names that are being picked up all over the place when you've got Piscotty out there. Plus, you can rename your team Piscotty and Meatballs. That's my fantasy baseball team name. And, you know, I think Piscotty's going to bounce back and be just fine this year.
Yeah, I think that the ability to craft a team name off a player's name is really one of the underrated characteristics. Yep, absolutely. You got to think about that when you go. But no, I agree. I think in the end, it's fine for fantasy owners to basically have forgotten about him, given that he really didn't do anything last year and he battled injuries and everything like that. But he's got talent. I trust that he'll turn it around. So if there's a guy, he's probably available in a lot of leagues. He's really not a bad ad at all.
All right, over to the pitchers that I like here. Jake Junis. What do you think, Dan?
Yeah, I'm really intrigued by this. He had a really nice spring. He really upped his strikeouts and made a great first start against Detroit. You know, that may not mean anything, but there is certainly enough potential, especially with the spring, that I'm looking at him almost anywhere I can just to see. I'm not convinced that it's going to be an impact pitcher, but there's been enough throughout the last, you know, month or two of his performance that I'm definitely picking him up.
He was all right last year, 4.3 ERA, 1.28 whip, struck out 80 in 98 innings. But before he was called up in the minors, he was awesome. 86 Ks in 71 innings, 1.0 whip, 2.92 ERA. This is a guy who has good stuff. He's pitching well in the majors. He's ready, man. He is going to be a fantasy relevant player for the next 5-10 years.
Yeah, especially in the short term, it's definitely somebody, it's the type of guy you add. He can be, you know, you're looking at this guy, you know, just guys who will just fill your team as a low-end starting pitcher. Who cares? If you can add somebody, though, who may have some upside, who's showing something, you know, that kind of looks like it could be a little special, that's the type of guy you want to go after. Junis fits that mold, so he's definitely one of the top ads for me this week.
All right, the next guy's name, I had to ask Dan for the pronunciation because I screw these things up all the time and then I get hate mail from y'all and my producer, like, it just makes fun of me all the time about it. So Tyler Molly for the Cincinnati Reds, he looks pretty good as well. He's a former top 100 prospect. He was a top 100 prospect this year, won the job in spring training, and he's killing it, man.
Yeah, I'm pretty intrigued by Molly, actually. He's always had really good control, which is always good to see. He's got pretty decent velocity. The big thing for him is that he struggled to get lefties out, and really that's sort of the question. But, you know, he's throwing his changeup more, and he certainly looked good in his first start. So, again, he's a guy I'm intrigued by. Certainly, he's got the stuff. I love guys who I don't have to worry about the Robbie Ray, are you going to walk 8 in 11 innings or anything like that. So he's also a guy. Now, again, you might struggle for wins. He's on the Reds. But, you know, in the end, certainly a guy who's widely available who could make an impact. Yeah, I'd add him, and you could probably throw him into your rotation right away.
Somebody else here making two starts in week three like Jake Junis is Tyler Skaggs, and he's been hot to start the season here. Two starts, 1.64 ERA, 10 Ks already. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, look, we know about him. I mean, he's got a great prospect pedigree. He's got great stuff. He's getting a ton of swings and misses. I mean, I forgot exactly what his swinging strike rate is, but I looked at it and it was impressive. He's probably got the highest ceiling of the guys that we've talked about so far. So guys like that are definitely worth an ad. I mean, he strikes me as a guy who there are going to be bumps in the road, but in the end, if you're willing to kind of ride it out, I think he can really deliver kind of a quality season. So all three of these guys I'm looking to add, with Skaggs probably being maybe a little bit of the riskiest, but having probably the highest ceiling.
Yeah, Junis was a borderline top 100 prospect. Molly was a top 100 guy. Tyler Skaggs was a top 10 prospect.
Yeah, that's the difference, right? And so you know basically that he's got it in that arm if he can ever just kind of put it together, and he really looks good. Again, it's the swinging strikes that are really kind of eye-popping a little bit this early in the season. And again, we've said it, it's a small sample size, but if you want to buy into it, I mean, he's giving you every reason to do so.
Now, Jose Martinez is gone in a lot of leagues, Dan. So really, my favorite pickup that's available in most leagues is the next guy we're going to talk about, Tyler Glasnow. He was a better prospect than Tyler Skaggs. He was the best player in minor league baseball last season. I mean, his numbers were downright disgusting last year. 1.93 ERA, 93 innings, 140 strikeouts, 57 hits allowed. He's been terrible in the majors. And so they put him in the bullpen, see if he can work some things out. He's been awesome. They've been keeping him in long relief so they can stretch him out, move him to the bullpen, and move him to the rotation when he's ready. Looks like he's going to be ready pretty soon because he's killing it.
Yeah, he is. He certainly looks ready to go at this point. He's a guy, though, who, you know, I don't know when he's going to start, but my guess is it's probably not going to be at least until May, maybe June, frankly. So he's a guy who, if you have room, certainly add, because he could be an impact starter, but he's somebody who you really have to have room for. Because,
yeah.
I mean, you could throw him in your lineup, obviously, as a reliever and stuff like that. Where I would add him for sure is in points leagues, because if he does start, then he's going to be, you know, a starter with relief pitcher eligibility, which really makes a difference in those types of leagues. So if you have room on your bench, add Glasnow now, because in the second half of the season, when the playoffs start especially, he's going to be a guy who can really just fit in as a relief pitcher and make all the difference.
I like that for points leagues. I also like the opposite in roto and head-to-head leagues, where, you know, you can put him at starting pitcher, even though he's a relief pitcher. You get him every single day. That way, you know, you don't just waste those spots in your lineups. And so I think that's how you make room for him, is you use him in that role, the Brad Peacock role. The Marmol strategy is named after Carlos Marmol, who was a great setup man, a long reliever before he was a closer. So I think these guys are useful. Another one of those guys, Jordan Hicks. Would you pick him up, or now that he's not definitely not going to be the closer with Greg Holland, are you even interested?
No, probably not. I mean, frankly, look, it's fun to watch him pitch, as we've talked about. I mean, he's basically, I think he might hit 102 miles an hour or something like that. But I mean, he's not even striking that many guys out at this point, so it's not like his numbers are eye-popping. So he's a guy who I'd pass on at this point. But the other guys, I think, have more of a chance to make an impact.
Yeah, I've been asked about him a ton, more than anybody else this spring, probably because of the Marmol strategy, and he qualifies as a starting pitcher. In fact, he's not even relief pitcher eligible in Yahoo yet. He's just starting pitcher eligible. And here's the thing. I like Peacock more. Gazelman is up there. He's in the conversation. Glasnow's there now. There's a lot of guys like that, and Hicks is probably the fourth or fifth on the list for me. So you know, I said this was the list of guys that I like, and I like Hicks, but for fantasy baseball, I brought him up just because I've had so many questions about him. Probably not picking him up unless I'm playing in like a 16, 20-man league.
Yeah, I'm inclined to agree, but if you, frankly, if you have like, if you live in St. Louis, or if you basically have the MLB package, tune in when he pitches. It's pretty exciting to watch. I mean, the boy can pump it, so, you know, it's really impressive.
All right, lightning round for waiver wire. Just overall reaction, pick him up, don't pick him up. What do you think about these guys? First, Preston Tucker, outfielder for the Braves.
I'd ride the hot streak, but I would not be expecting him to make a major impact this year. So only for a short-term pickup.
I mean, if you need someone, if you were an idiot who drafted like David Dahl, like somebody that's hosting this show, you can drop him if he's the only outfielder out there. But, you know, I'd much rather have Stephen Piscotty and Michael Brantley.
Yeah, I agree.
Matt Davidson, he's owned in 75% of leagues now. So when I wrote this a few days ago, it made sense. But, you know, after the home runs and everything, everyone rushed to pick him up. I'm not interested.
No, not at all. I mean, look, you know what you're going to get. You're going to get a lot of home runs and nothing else. And he may bat 220. So I'm not really interested in that.
220 would be nice, man. If Matt Davidson could bat 220, I'd pick him up. I don't know if he can.
Yeah, that might be fair. I may be optimistic, frankly, on that. I mean, given what he does, but either way, nah, dude. I mean, the 30 home runs, or, you know, who bats 220 at this point? No, the guys who hit 30 home runs are a little bit of a dime a dozen at this point. Hard pass on Matt Davidson for me.
Now, another guy, Dan, who hit three homers in a game, Christian Villanueva for the San Diego Padres, third baseman. You know, he's a hitter in the minor leagues, but I don't even know if he's going to play full time.
No, I mean, that's really the issue with him. I'm mildly intrigued by him. Yeah, he was a hitter in the minor leagues, like you said. So anytime a guy like that hits three home runs in the majors, you get. But, you know, yeah, I think Chase Headley is still at third base or something. So, you know, again, he's not a guy who I've really given much thought to. I'd keep my eye on him, but I wouldn't be adding him at this point.
Homers in the first 14 games from AJ Casavell on Twitter. Trevor Story, 8. Villanueva, 7. Carlos Delgado, 7. Reese Hoskins, 7. Trey Mancini, 7. And those are the leaders all time. He's got 38 big league at-bats, 6 home runs. Scott Pianowski, actually, as we were tweeting this out, as we were talking about this, he tweeted out, Villanueva just got hit in the hand and wrist. He's being examined, probably going to be taken out of the game. So either way, I'm not picking him up, but it looks like he may be hurt too.
Yeah, well, that's certainly a reason to stay away from him, especially with the hand. But either way, I mean, frankly, I just, you know, unless we knew for sure that he would be getting everyday playing time, I can't see him as being worth it anyway.
What about Aledmys Diaz? What do you think, Dan?
Yeah, you know, actually, shockingly, I think this would be a good ad, at least as a middle infielder. I mean, obviously, in that park, he obviously had a huge game a couple of games ago. You're not overreacting to that. But, you know, with the Tulo injury, you know, he should find enough playing time to make it worthwhile. It's obviously in that park, he can do some damage. He's not what he was 2 years ago. But, you know, as sort of a middle infield pickup, yeah, I'd be buying that a little bit in Toronto.
Well, 2 years ago, he was one of the best offensive shortstops in baseball. He had an 879 OPS. So even if he's not that, I mean, he was an all-star in his rookie year, right? I think he can be someone who hits 270, 280 with 15, 20 home runs, a handful of steals. That's really useful. You got to pick that up. If you need a middle infielder, he's the guy to go get.
Yeah, I don't think I would see him cracking the top 12 at shortstop, even though it's a terrible position. But again, as a middle infielder, yeah, I really am. And it's a guy who I really gave very little consideration to this preseason because obviously of last year, and he got shipped out, and that infield was pretty crowded with Hervis Solarte and everything like that. But he's going to find some playing time at this point with the Tulo being out for a significant period of time. And he looks good so far. So yeah, I'd add him.
Now, we already mentioned Jack Flaherty. I'm just going to remind you all, Dan and I both say add him. I know he's in the minor leagues. Add him before it's too late. He's going to get called back up. Dan, what do you think about Matt Harvey?
I think Harvey is an add for sure. I mean, I think it'd be hard to ignore what he did in that first start. But I watched that start, obviously, and he wasn't nearly as good as his line suggested. He left a lot of balls kind of over the plate, his velocity was down, and the Phillies just couldn't take advantage. It was cold. But certainly, I mean, you know, he had a pretty decent spring. He's obviously got the history. And after his first start, you add him. But I would add him and say, okay, I'm going to give him a shot, but I'm really not going to be expecting him to make an impact this year. But he's certainly worth an add.
I think he should have been drafted. And so since he had a good first start, yeah, I think he should be added too. He's, you know, at the very least, he's a project. He's a flyer. And those are the kind of guys you want in your starting rotation at the end of your roster. You don't have to pitch him every day. Wait and see.
Yeah, I mean, I think the one thing with Harvey is that Harvey relied a lot on his natural stuff, which he had great stuff, but he wasn't a great pitcher. And especially when he started losing sort of some command and losing some velocity, he really couldn't adjust. And, you know, now he's got Mickey Callaway and he's got Dave Island, two guys who are as good sort of a quote-unquote pitching coaches as you could be. And, you know, they're really good at turning guys around. So he's intriguing to me. I wouldn't be overly excited, but if he's available, he's definitely a pickup.
What about Jaime Garcia? He has been around for so long, and he is so underrated because every single year, 3.5 ERA, 3.2 ERA. You know what I mean? He does it every single year, and now that he's healthy, pitching in a different environment here in Toronto, I think he's a solid pickup. I'd rather have Matt Harvey, but he started the season well.
Yeah, I just can't do it. Not in the AL East, man. I get it. Like, I like Jaime Garcia as a guy who I used to be able to kind of deploy in the right matchup, and he was always available and stuff like that. But I just cannot do it if he's going to basically be facing off against the Yankees and the Red Sox every other start. So of everybody who's available, he certainly is the kind of, exactly what I said when we were talking about someone else a minute ago. He's just the kind of, like, maybe back-end starter that you can add. And guys like that are a dime a dozen. So I'd pass on him versus basically almost anybody else that we've talked about at this episode.
I think that's fair. Yeah. I mean, what it really comes down to is I don't think he's a bad ad. But when you consider you've got Junis, you've got Molly, you've got Tyler Skaggs, who's a great ad, Tyler Glasnow, who's a great ad, Harvey, who I'd prefer, Reynaldo Lopez, who we're talking about next, I'd prefer him too. He's got big time upside. And, you know, he wasn't that great last year. Maybe he doesn't have the best strikeout stuff, but he can be Marcus Stroman, I think.
Oh, Lopez is a definite add, without question. I mean, he's obviously, again, the prospect pedigree. He looked great in his first start. He is, you know, I maybe wouldn't call him a quote-unquote must add, but I, you know, unless you have a league where you're only starting, you know, seven pitching spots or something like that, if you have nine pitching spots, if you're in a standard league, Lopez needs to be owned. Again, there's a lot of guys out there. All these guys that we're talking about, it's, you know, I don't want to use the word exciting, but, you know, a lot of these guys can really be impact players, and a lot of them are widely available. So these are the types of guys I'd add. Lopez definitely fits the bill. Again, as we said, Flaherty is my number one, even though he's in the minors right now. But other than that, Lopez is definitely, you know, near the top of the list.
You know, someone I think I'd prefer to Flaherty is Mike Foltynewicz. That's the last guy we're going to talk about here, Dan. And, you know, every single year there's one of these guys that just turns from a middle rotation starter, 4.7 ERA last year, 143 strikeouts and 154 innings, just blah. You don't want him in fantasy baseball, to a Rich Hill, to a, you know, there's all these guys every single year, and some of their names are I can't think of them right now, but Foltynewicz right now He looks like he completely changed. He's like the Charlie Morton of this year. 10 innings pitched, 15 strikeouts, getting a lot of swing and misses. He's got some wild pitches going on. I don't know what's up with that, but he's looked very good in his first two starts, and I am buying the breakout before it is too late to pick him up.
Yeah, I'm inclined to agree. Generally speaking, the one thing of Coldwater that I'll put on Foltynewicz is that he was basically had a very, very similar, I think his April last year was awesome. And then he just kind of completely fell apart. So he may be one of these guys that gets off. I know, but I agree with you, frankly, that, you know, he's got a lot of potential. He's got the ability to sort of put it all together. And he's kind of always a guy who I've had my eye on and I kind of want to add and I never do. But he's a guy who I take a shot on at this point for sure. Now, again, Coldwater is, he has had stretches like this before and then he just falls apart. But he does look really good so far to start. The Braves actually as a whole look great. So I would be taking a shot on Foltynewicz for sure at this point. And he kind of falls right in the category of most of these guys that we're talking about. So definite add for me.
I'm looking right now, and you're right. In April and March last year, he was quite good. He wasn't as good as he's been now. I mean, he only struck out 8 per 9 innings, but for that and June, he was pretty dominant. So, you know, you're right. We've seen this before, but for whatever reason, he's striking out a lot more batters. We haven't seen that before from him.
Yeah, he's definitely right now. This, again, you and I just preached, don't overreact to anything like that. But certainly for his first couple of starts, he looks great. And I am definitely looking to pick him up wherever I can. I'm just not fully ready to accept that this is an entirely new pitcher. But definitely as an ad, 100%, because you take your shot. And if he turns out to be somebody like this, and if he can continue this, then he's an impact player, and you make it work. So for me, definite ad, but I'm approaching it with a little bit of trepidation just to be careful.
I agree. I think that you have to. And let me clarify. Like, I'm not saying he is Charlie Morton. I'm saying he could be Charlie Morton. When you've got these end of the roster spots, you're adding those guys before they become those guys, and it's too late, right? That's the only way you're going to get a better team is if you're not picking up replacement level players. You're picking up guys who could be substantially better than that. And if they don't work out, you drop them for the next guy like that. So I'm not saying that he is dominant. I'm just saying, yeah, he could be that guy. I am saying don't overreact about like Tommy Pham and Jose Ramirez and stuff like that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And basically, you know, I said it earlier, but when you're thinking about how you're going to use your bench spots or how you're going to use sort of the back end of your staff pitching spots, guys who could be impact players are really what you want to be. That's why I'm not going for the Jaime Garcias of the world. I'm taking a shot on a guy like Foltynewicz. If he turns out that he is really somebody who's kind of put it all together, then great. You add him before there's the mad rush, before you have to spend 15% of your fab budget on them. Just grab them now, all these guys, if you can, and have them on your team. And if it works out, great. And if not, you can cut them. But that the type of upside player like Foltynewicz, like Harvey, like Ronaldo Lopez, all those types of guys, those are the guys that you kind of add and you see where it goes. And if it doesn't go anywhere, you just drop them and move on.
Damn, we did it, man. We kept it under 5 hours.
Amazing. A first time for us. That's great. Now a producer doesn't have to go and edit down our day-long podcast into, you know, 40 minutes of talk.
You know, the real MVP of today's show, though, are my two boys. They went to sleep. Like, this is the time we're recording at the time that I put them to sleep, and they've been having a lot of trouble going to sleep. And last time when we recorded the show late at night, they did a horrible job, like just absolutely horrible. I had to stop recording twice. My producer probably had a headache having to deal with, you know, me going up and dealing with that. They were perfectly quiet, definitely giving them stickers in the morning. So props to my boys, MVPs of the show.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what I was thinking too. And I do remember it is funny because when you listen to a podcast, obviously you don't know what goes on behind the scenes. And I think that was the last time you and I were on together. And yeah, your boys were definitely throwing a little bit of a fit back there. We had to pause a little bit, but they were all stars for this one.
Dude, I don't know what I'm going to do now. Like, it's Friday night. Usually I do my grocery shopping on Friday night. So, you know, you don't have the old people in the store and, you know, everyone's out partying. And so you're just there, you know, buying the steak for half off and whatever. I already did my grocery shopping. What am I supposed to do now?
Well, as for me, I'm turning to my ad drops in a lot of my leagues, which a lot of them run on Friday nights.
There
so
you
that's
go.
That's going to take me a couple hours. So that's where I'm going.
All right, man. That's all for today's show. Dan, thanks for joining us again. Always fun. Thanks for coming on.
My pleasure.
Now, we've got two shows coming up next week. Sorry, we only had one this week. Again, that was our error. So I apologize. We are going to do two every week during the season. We're going to hit on news. We're going to hit on injury updates, waiver wire, listener mailbag. Again, that's mailbag at fantasypros.com. Also, if you're ready to jump into DraftKings DFS, use the code PROS, P-R-O-S, at DraftKings.com now and play for free with your first deposit in the daily 10K contest. Thanks for listening and enjoy your baseball.